Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. The beauty of a lot of these brain games is they look scientific because they're so boring.
He's Art Markman.
He's Bob Duke.
And I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, do brain training games really make us smart?
Each of the companies that is putting forth products has a study they can point to, whether it replicates in the long run or not. They have a study they can point to that made people a little bit better at doing something. It's like we talked in an earlier show about the Mozart effect, mm-hmm. But I think that there's another piece to this too, which is there's a long tradition in psychology. Let's not make fun of the neuroscientists. Let's make fun of our own people. Mm-hmm. There's a long tradition in psychology of decontextualizing cognitive abilities. When we want to study memory, we give people disembodied lists of words and we say, remember these. And if you want to study decision making, you give people gambles, which they've never seen before, and say, here, pick one. But the fact that we can study it that way does not mean that that's the way these things developed,
right,
and that that's the way these things work on a regular basis. And I think the fallacy that goes into the development of these kinds of decontextualized games is that because we often study these things in a way that's devoid of content, that turns out also to be the best way to improve those abilities.
Right. It's understandable that we have interests in trying to improve the way we function. And now one thing that's become a prominent feature in many privileged people's lives are so-called brain trainers or brain exercisers or those kinds of things, not recognizing that all of life is a brain trainer.
Yeah.
And the idea that, you can only do something that's going to be useful for keeping you, mentally healthy if you buy something that's designed to do just that is just a false premise. It's just not true.
Einstein's brain is in a vat in Princeton, okay, because of this belief that we're going to analyze Einstein's brain and at some point figure out what made Einstein Einstein. And it wasn't his brain. I mean, it was. He thought with his brain. But what made Einstein Einstein was all of those years he spent in Geneva in the patent office reading stuff, thinking about stuff, walking through the streets, thinking about clocks and why they synchronize with each other and all those. That's what made Einstein smart. It was all of this other engagement. Even if you were to do activities that influenced some of these very basic cognitive abilities in the brain, it is the coordination among all of those abilities that ultimately influences the way that you think. And you don't learn to coordinate those things by doing one little activity over and over and over and over again.
That also ignores an important aspect of learning and cognitive function, and that is your attitudes and emotions, right? I mean, people don't get more competent by just knowing more stuff, right? You become more competent because you're able to think effectively, and the word that Art just used, coordinate all of the resources that you have. And all of that is also connected to attitudes, right? I mean, the reason that many people don't succeed is not because they're inherently incapable of succeeding at what they're trying at. It's that they won't persist long enough through challenges to get them to an endpoint that's satisfying. And it has nothing to do with the fact they don't know enough stuff, right? Because if you're not willing to pursue something long enough, well, then it's not a matter of storing more stuff in your brain or getting yourself to recall memory faster, right? Now, this is not to say that you can't improve many of your mental faculties through practice, right? I mean, you can actually practice things that will get you better at stuff. Whether that contributes to your success in general is just completely unfounded.
Yeah. I mean, the people who are selling products that are designed to strengthen your brain in some way are essentially playing off of all of the anxiety that most people have about whether they're really smart enough to do whatever it is that they're doing effectively. I think, you know, if you walk around, deep down, lots of people feel like I'm an imposter in my life. You know, everyone else has got it together. Everyone else is doing all this really smart stuff. And I'm just not sure I'm as good as everybody else. Wouldn't it be great if I could just do this extra little thing that would make me deserve to be where I am? And so, you know, there's an awful lot of money to be made on people's anxieties.
Brain games are just now what was diet advice in the 50s. You know, you'd buy this thing and you'd suddenly lose weight, or, you know, when they used to be able to sell amphetamines as diet pills and those kind of things. You know, the functionality of brains has to do with genes making proteins, as is the functionality of every part of every organism, right? So if you keep that stuff going because you're actively engaging in other human beings, you're reading, you're solving puzzles that are, you know, you do crossword puzzles or you play the saxophone or whatever it happens to be, all those things are actively engaging systems that you want to persist long into your adult life.
What's fascinating about these brain games, of course, is they're structured as games. And so, you know, they make it easy at first so you succeed, and then you do a little bit more and you succeed. And that success builds on itself. And so the games feel like you're progressing. It plays into the belief that actually doing something smart, that there's a clear path for how to get there.
Yeah.
When in fact the path was only clear in retrospect.
And you know, this brings up an interesting thing about the value of intellectual pursuits that have no clear value. Right. I mean, all the arguments right now about higher education and why would somebody get a degree in humanities or that, right? As if, you know, we're only going to embark on something if we know this is going to have a productive outcome. I mean, real learning is a mess. And what we try to do in our society is we try to clean it up and make it linear and say, well, you do this and then that and then that, smart, you know, right, or this and this and that, creative. And the thing is, that's not the way it works. So if somebody promises you, whether it's a brain game company or whatever, listen, if you do this, I tell you, success is just, you know, a few steps away.
They're not telling you who's success.
There you go.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of being starstruck with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.